Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I had to chat to Famous Brands CEO Darren Heel after their interim results to the end of August, were just reported this morning. I think I'll probably say the takeaway theme was really taking advantage of operating efficiencies in a difficult market. You will know Famous Brands from all of your favorite brands like Steers, Debonairs, Milky Lane, Wimpy, Mythos, Paul's Restaurant, Turn and Tender, Vovo Tello, and you might be familiar with the Nigerian Mr. Biggs. We're joined right now to talk a little bit about some of the key salient areas and the underlying operating and financial outcomes. Healthy interims with revenue up 2% over the period, HEPS up 9.5%, despite a difficult environment, as I say, in key markets and divisions, with numerous restaurant closures, but some bright lights in sales along the AME and SADC region, as well as some offsetting improvements on load shedding suspension. I'm very excited to hear a little bit more from Darren this afternoon. Congratulations, Darren, on this resilient result. How are you today?
Great. Thanks, Rafiwa. Good afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity.
Certainly. So maybe let's kick off with that top line. 2% is, you know, muted growth and possibly understandable. We're talking about brands that, as we know, through a difficult cost of living crisis in South Africa, sometimes eating out is one of the first things that people tend to give up, which is a dominant part of the brands. And so quite good to see results on a positive side.
Yeah, particularly given that we know, and which is unusual, that of the half, there was two very distinct quarters, which is unusual in our business. So we wouldn't normally have to talk about that. But I mean, you know, if I look at the performance then in the second half of this half, so the quarter, we would have been in a much better position. So definitely the pre-election position in South Africa was very muted. And I think we probably weren't alone in feeling that. Feeling, as you say, a lot more comfortable, and there's some light at the end of the proverbial tunnel.
For sure. I mean, I have to say, this has been the prevailing feedback that we're receiving from a range of CEOs over results period, whether it happens to be in logistics, retail, sort of consumer brands. So in other words, FMCG or the brands of your nature. I know there is some FMCG in there. But what I found from your statement, particularly as you were referring to sort of the tale of two halves, there was a great deal more cautious optimism, I think, around the time ahead. There seems to be a greater degree of wait and see in terms of your attitude to ensuring that the sentiment that is obviously very great in South Africa actually plays out in the numbers for the second half. What are your thoughts in that regard?
Look, history's taught us, you know, that things like interest rate cuts off these high levels, fuel price easing, as an example, let alone this sort of unprecedented flow into the economy of the two-pot system, and just generally people feeling more comfortable and moving into the summer period, and of course not having load shedding, would be good for our business, particularly those first two around fuel price and interest rates. So we've got the comfort of history showing us. What we don't know is obviously how the consumer is feeling after all of these knocks, and may well be different, but it's highly unlikely for that to be the case. So hence our optimism around just that freedom of that cash coming in. And remember, we're not a big ticket item. So while people cut quickly because it's small, when they've got that extra bit of disposable income, it's a convenient purchase. And of course, food is always something that people can relate to more than once a day.
Absolutely. So let's get into some of the operational results within some of the brand segments. In South Africa, on leading and signature brands, muted growth in square footage or store openings, more on the leading side than on the signature side. And like-for-like sales more or less flat. That does compare interestingly with your AME and your Zambia and Botswana, which represented far better revenues, which I guess is the very story you're telling us here about the South African consumers feeling.
Yeah, look, I mean, sometimes AME can be a bit flattering around the activity and, of course, the currency mix. So, you know, rand's always a fair number. But to your point around new store openings, we were a lot slower in opening the stores than we would have liked. So we would have liked to have seen more activity in the period. But we know we're going to pick that up in the second half. So we've got some comfort around that. And again, I think the like-for-like sales were so suppressed in those first 3 months of the year, to the point that we haven't seen that level before of almost down on prior year. In often is the case, and given that you've got inflation, that is unusual, other than in a period like COVID. So, you know, for us coming out of that period is really positive, and that picture is looking a lot better, and the new store openings will make a difference
for sure. In Zambia, that like for like growth of 85%, is that a currency move, or was there something in particular that
that's
highlight?
So that's quite a performance. I mean, yeah, those are Zambia numbers we quoted.
Okay.
I mean, the market there has been very hot, but both that, I mean, inflation is running at, I think, around 31%, I stand to be corrected. So, you know, it's a hot economy, and of course, you've got inflation too, and so we've capitalized on that and had new store openings, as well as obviously been able to pass through inflationary costs. But it's definitely been harder the last couple of months. I mean, the load shedding there, for different reasons as to who to add in South Africa, but it's definitely hurting the economy.
For sure. Saudi, you closed your operations in Saudi, the single store there. Is that an operational conversation or decision, or was that based on concerns around the market itself?
No, regrettably, it was a franchise operation that wasn't meeting the requirements. And, you know, as much as we tried, you know, we only have a certain amount of influence. So we mutually agreed to walk away. It just wasn't working in terms of the standards being held to a level that they needed to be, and that's not we want to manage a market, and especially a market that's got huge growth opportunities. But I mean, at this stage, we're certainly going to pause and reflect on what next.
Darren, you have an interesting perspective on the rest of the continent. Net openings in Nigeria, a new store, a new Debonair store in Egypt. But not only that, the footprint that Famous Brands has from, as we just discussed, Botswana, Zambia, across the SADC region, Angola and the like, gives you a unique perspective on, I imagine, the middle income, lower to middle income purchaser. Do you have a sense of an outlook for the African continent in general, either in the next 6 months or maybe even 18?
Look, I'm always optimistic about the opportunities in Africa because people like our product, so that's a great position to be in.
Yeah.
But we are finding the dynamics becoming more challenging. I mean, power across the continent is an issue of some sort in terms of, I'm talking about not political power, but physical power
electric,
to generate.
Correct.
Electric, yeah. So that's a real issue across the board. And of course, the currency volatility against the dollar. And in most of these countries over the past 2 years, there's been some form of election. And looking at what's, as an example, just going on next door in Mozambique this week is challenging. So it is difficult. I think it's getting, the opportunity is greater in Africa, but the challenges are also becoming greater. So we have to tread carefully and move forward in very limited ways. And I don't think we're going to be overly ambitious, but, we're certainly not going to rush away from there. Where people like our brands, we have to move, and global competitors are interested in those markets.
Absolutely.
And in some cases are penetrating. So we remain excited but very cautious.
Last area on operations, just let's look at the supply chain side of things, in keeping with your comment about electricity. A bit of offsetting good news about load shedding suspension insofar as it affected the manufacturing operations, and yet higher consumption, you stated, of about 13% of electricity still offset even that improvement. Is that 12% increase or 12.7% increase a return to pre-heavy load shedding levels? Or because I'm seeing obviously volumes were flat, or is it an indication of actual greater operation?
No, so in fact, I think it's a reflection of the kilowatt hour savings that were taken up by diesel generation. So we probably never really had a good handle on understanding what that impact would be, because you're generating your own power. And of course, different times of the day, different rates. So essentially, it's just really replacing that power that we didn't use in load shedding. And of course, that's a mixed bag of numbers, because you've got a mix of solar in there, you've got diesel, and you've got obviously grid power. But most of it relates to just the pure downtime of the Eskom supply in the prior, or the council supply in the prior.
Understood. Okay, so let's turn to financial results. The group has obviously made a commitment to debt reduction, and you were able to do so successfully during the past year, the two halves, of about 127 million rand in loans, and those were paid down over the period. Do you have any other targets, given the fact that CapEx continues to be not aggressive, but relatively robust?
No, we're very comfortable with our current debt levels. I mean, we'd like to bring them down slowly just to be prudent. You know, you never know when there's another crisis of some sort. So, we wouldn't like to keep sustained levels of debt, but we're not in a rush to pay them down. So, you know, if you saw that steadily decreasing over time, that would be fine, and particularly with the interest rate cycle turning the way it is.
Yes.
So no rush, but, you know, if we spoke in a few years' time again, we'd want it to be below these levels. So continually, at the kind of number that you just stated, we would probably reduce steadily.
Okay. And very interested about the sort of cold storage facilities that are sort of being invested in Midrand. Is that something that you feel is going to improve the efficiencies? Because I would love to hear a little bit from you on the areas of efficiency improvement in the business, because I think for 2% top line to get 10% increase in HEPS, that really is the big story here.
Yeah, so this is a good example where, I mean, you're investing, you know, to get that efficiency. But, you know, the current facility, we are out of capacity, but it's also old technology in the refrigeration and old layout. So you can't become efficient. So sometime you've got to invest. I think this is probably one of those extreme examples, but some of the other areas of efficiency will be gained as an example and have been gained from a new warehouse management system we've put in over the past 2 years, or some manufacturing technologies that we've invested or investing in or in the process of. So little increments, and this does replace a big leased asset that we have. So it is a replacement, but it is also an expansion. So some of them are smaller projects around getting those efficiencies. And of course, you know, labor is a big cost in our business, and it's an escalating cost for everybody in an economy like South Africa. So, you know, the system has helped us to, you know, make a reduction in things like overtime, and which has other knock-on effects in the business. So that's one area of efficiency around overtime that the old system certainly didn't necessarily have a great handle on. And we now have solus of that system across our logistics network, and it works particularly well.
It's almost as if you knew I was going to ask you about the cost of labor next. But it's great to hear that there's a rationalization without having to see retrenchments, which seem to be coming a little bit too common in the South African economic or business cycle. Almost, you know, they're becoming just the immediate efficiency go-to. So that's great to know. A really great set of results. And Darren, you know, excluding the outliers of like 2016 and 2020, really steady growth over the past decade and a half, and, you know, and a dividend that's healthy. Increased to 150 cents, 120 net for a South African investor. I think that your investors would be very happy with what they've seen here.
Yeah, well, we hope so. We keep trying and certainly communicating with them. So we do, and I really appreciate the comments and for noting those very important milestones, particularly the dividends. So thank you.
Absolutely. Darren Hill, CEO of Famous Brands, the many that you know and love, talking to us this evening on the interim results ending the 31st of August. Thanks so much for joining us on KayaBiz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.